2018. And if you're not listening to Totally Driven,
everybody, welcome to the show. Sorry we had a little technical difficulty at the beginning. What you just heard was a sample from Castle Black, their new single, Sierra. We're going to be talking about their EP as well, The Gods That Adored You. And I believe they're on the line right now, so let's get right to it.
Hi, this is G.
Dallas. Hey, how are we
doing?
Hi,
how are you? Good.
Not too bad. So we just played some music, your music here. Tell us a little bit about where you guys got the name for your band, and tell us a little bit about the rest of your bandmates.
So it's just me. On the call right now. But Castle Black formed about 3 years ago, I guess, 2015. And, yeah, I mean, the name is kind of from the books, Song of Ice and Fire, which, you know, now is Game of Thrones on TV.
Uh-huh.
So it was named after the castle. I tend to, like, pull names from things I'm reading. So that just kind of came up around that time, and it kind of stuck. And you know, we have three people in the band. We're a trio. We've been drums, bass, and guitar, and two vocals pretty much the whole time. So yeah, the other two are not here today, but I'm here.
So you guys released your EP, The Gods That Adored You. Tell us a little bit about what it took to put that together, and the amount of hours you guys put in. What sort of inspired you guys to put this together? I know you mentioned that you kind of pull your name from things that you were reading, which I think is pretty cool. I think a lot of people find that pretty catchy. But what made you guys come together on this?
Well, The Gods That Adored You is the fourth EP. So we had just released a third one last year, and this one, some of the songs are already, they're kind of in the works at that point. And we recorded it in January or February, and you know, pretty much from January to June was the release. So we did all the mixing and the mastering and artwork, all of that stuff kind of happened in that like 6 month period. The name, actually, so with album titles, I tend to go to song lyrics. So The Cigarette Saved is the fourth album on The Gods That Adored You, and the title, The Gods That Adored You, is from that song. So it just kind of, I mean, with albums and stuff, I mean, you see, like, it's divided into parts. There's part A and part B. So we definitely put a lot of thought into kind of the order of the songs and making sure, you know, the songs make sense together. So that title just kind of encompassed everything, you know, including the fact that we had these two distinct parts. And it just kind of represented, you know, the themes throughout all of the songs. So yeah, I guess for us, any like EP is tends to take about that length of time. Sorry, that's my dog.
It's all right. So you guys released three others, Trapped Under All That You Know, which you released last year. You released Losing Forever in 2016 and Find You There in 2015, and currently you guys are still touring.
We just finished a 2 week tour to the Midwest, and then we have a bunch of weekend stuff coming up. So we're in the middle of all that like weekend stuff. But we were out in the Midwest US for about 2 weeks in support of The Gods That Adored You. So yeah, and then I'm planning one for the fall right now. So everything's kind of overlapping, cuz I'm kind of writing the next album right now, and you know, the other one, you know, just came. So everything's overlapping.
So do you write all the music? I mean, how much writing do the other members do? I mean, you mentioned that you're writing the music right now. I mean, have you written all these songs?
Yeah, so I mean, just traditionally it's kind of worked out like that, because the way that I write, I write it on guitar and vocals. I usually hear the vocals first, so I just kind of know what the song sounds like in my head. And then it's really kind of a matter of like working it out and working out the parts and stuff. So usually when I bring it to the band, it's a song, you know, on guitar with vocals, sounding like a song. And I don't know, I like rhythm a lot, so I build a lot of rhythm into kind of the parts already. So I kind of know how I want a lot of things to sound. And then, you know, my drummer or bassist will work out parts, and then, you know, we'll work out the rest of the song, and if it's not working, change it up, etc. On The Gods That Adored You, it's River, actually my drummer wrote that song, and we brought that in because it really fit with the themes and kind of our the style and stuff. And it was a song that, it was ages ago, we were in a different band together, and we had worked on it then. So last year, when we were getting ready for this album, you know, I just kind of asked if we could bring it back, and it just kind of fit in with everything. So that's like a unique situation, but it definitely, you know, worked out on this album. So I mean, I'm really happy that we included it. But that's the general kind of idea is I'll write it on guitar and vocals first.
Now, do you play multiple instruments, or do you just
I play a little bit of drum. So I just started learning drums a couple of years ago, and because it's really, really, it's just a great instrument. I just had always wanted to do it, and now, you know, we have a practice space, so I can actually go and play. But I wouldn't say I play super well, but it's really helped with songwriting, just, you know, and being able to communicate with my drummer, etc. I mean, I can play a little bit of bass, and I play some keyboards, but not anything as much as I play the guitar.
You're just trying to become a jack of all trades, master of, you know, as many of them as possible, huh?
Yeah, I mean, it's really useful, and I mean, I am really, you know, envious of people who play so many instruments really well, because especially when you're writing songs and you just want to get something out quickly, I mean, it's really helpful, and that's why I've kind of tried to spend some time on other instruments, because it's just really useful. Or, you know, if you have an idea in your head, trying to be able to communicate that to someone who plays a different instrument is just really, really, really important. So, yeah.
Yeah, I guess people don't really, I guess, you know, outside of, you know, being a musician, a lot of people don't realize how difficult it is to communicate what you want to someone who is hearing a different tone or a different sound or different rhythm than you are. And being able to explain that rhythm to that person can be a little bit of a barrier if you don't know how to play that rhythm or play those notes.
It's really true. Yeah. And I think like for us, actually, it depends on the person too. So it's like, I learned a specific way to communicate with my drummer, and then I will work with like a different person, different drummer, and it's just a totally different thing. So it's like, you get used to like explaining things one way to one person and then work with someone else, and it's totally different. But I mean, sometimes what I'll do is I'll just make like really, really bad iPhone files, you know, like iPhone recordings. And I'll layer, I don't have a bass around, like I'll just layer it with a guitar, and that's the bass part. And then I'll layer it with like a drum app on my phone, just to kind of just put, you know, if I want crashes in a certain place, like if it's like that. So it's, yeah, you just kind of get really creative with ways to kind of communicate.
So you mentioned you've been doing this for a few years with similar people, but you also mentioned you've changed. How many people have you worked with as far as your band goes? I mean, has there been a lot of changeover for you guys?
There's been a little bit. I mean, Lisa and Matt were with the band since 2015. Matt was not, he stepped away a little bit last year in 2017. So Audrey is on the recording from last year, great drummer. So we worked with her for a couple of months. And then that, you know, we just kind of, life stuff happens, and, you know, Matt came back and she had stuff going on. So came back, and now he's on that album. But then Lisa left earlier this year, so we're going through another, you know, bass change at the moment. There's constantly, it's really hard. And I think that's why it's like, you know, if you're a band that, like, I don't know, in this case, like so much falls to me. So it's just a matter of keeping everything going and keeping everything moving, because at the end of the day, it's all about the music. And, you know, it's like you like working with certain people, but if things happen, you kind of just make sure that you're meeting your obligations, or you're meeting, you know, you're being reliable to people you said you were going to do things for, and that the music is still getting out there. So it's just kind of a lot, but you just kind of make it work.
Now, you guys are kind of wrapping up a tour and then kind of gearing up to go again. Do you guys get to meet anybody fun on this tour? I mean, are you guys just touring by yourselves, or have there been other groups at the venues that you've done? And what is that like, sharing the stage with some of these other bands and the like? What tell us a little bit about that.
It's been really fun. I mean, I think that's the best part about it is that we meet so many amazing people. I mean, I've never really played with a band that we haven't liked. Like everyone you meet is just really, really awesome. And then, you know, you're meeting people who are at the shows and that's really cool just to like hear people say, you know, thank you for coming to our city or something like that. And yeah, so I think it's definitely a lot of fun, and that's, you know, you get through all the stress of setting things up and things falling through and resetting things up, and then you just get on the road and it's not that it's always super smooth, but you know, for the most part it is, and it's just really great meeting so many different people. I think there was a second part to that question, but I don't remember what it was.
So who are some of the groups that you've gotten to work with, if you had, in fact, gotten to work with any of them or shared stage with any of them? What's it like to interact with some of these other bands? You know, do you take any inspiration from any of them? Do you take any do you see what they do on stage and say, you know, that's something we can work out or better? You know, what is that like?
I mean, there's just so many. Like, you know, I think of this two-week tour we just did, right? And it's like roughly you're playing with two to three other bands a night, you know, and then that's like for 14 days. So there's so many people, but it's amazing like what you remember. And you know, I have a spreadsheet that I kind of make notes in, but there was one band that we played with I believe it was in Columbus, and their set was really cool because they did this whole like visual thing before where they had this like whole kind of political video going on kind of the whole time. So it's like your attention was so drawn to that. And, you know, also back to them. So, like, that was just something that, for me, I really like. I like visuals on stage. I like it being a performance. I like it when it's people just don't show up and, like, you know, it looks like they came from practice. Like, I like a visual show. So, for me, like, that was really cool because it's something I would love to incorporate, but I just, you know, haven't had the time to really. We do some video when we're in New York because we know the places we can do it at. But, you know, when you're on the road, it's harder because there's not. You just don't know what you're getting every night. But that was really inspirational because it is just something that I'm really interested in. And there was another band we played with in Saratoga Springs, actually, that's more like a performance art. Like they had these huge costumes and just like it was music, but it was also just something else. So I think seeing those things is just inspirational for me because I'm really, really, really love the visual aspects of the show too. And then just, you know, you're constantly hearing just really great bands that you might not have even been exposed to had you not gone to that city. So it's kind of overwhelming, but it's good. Oh, that's what you asked me about actually, because we are doing this. So we've never toured with another band, but we are actually on tour coming up in the fall. We are. So that'll be interesting. And I'm excited about it. It's a little more work to set up the show, but I think once you're on the road, it's a little bit easier.
Yeah. So, I mean, who are you guys going to be touring with? Or is that something we have to wait to find out?
No. In the fall, it's another band. It's a band from Detroit. They're called Bare Bones, and they're really great. And just totally check them out. So we will be going with them, which means we'll be going back to we're going kind of a little bit the same route we did just now with a little bit of what we did earlier this year. So we're going to wrap up to Detroit to pick them up, probably go back to Milwaukee and then kind of loop back around northeastern a little bit and then go south a bit, North Carolina, and wrap to drop them back off. So that's kind of the tentative route right now.
Now, you guys are kind of classified more or less, I guess, and you can correct me if you don't feel like you're classified this way, but you guys are kind of classified more or less sort of a punk rock band. Now, that's a genre of music that has a pretty rich history, but rock in general is so wide and varied and in terms of the multiple genres that split off of it, and there's so many great iconic bands out there that do things well. What do you, and eventually you get to the ones that when you look at certain genres that you look at them and you say, okay, this is the band that sort of exemplifies what this genre is all about. You know, whether you're looking at, you know, the hair bands and things, you know, you've got guys like, you know, Motley Crue. When you look at, you know, more theatrical bands, you get guys like Kiss. Obviously, you know, you get into the heavy metal, you got guys like Ozzy Osbourne and Iron Maiden. And now, you know, so when you look at these different genres, do you think that you and your band could eventually become one of these big, you know, genre defining bands? Is that a goal that you have? I mean, what is your long-term goal, your music?
I mean, I think that would be amazing. And I think the thing to think about is, you know, to the first part of that, you know, are we a punk band? Like, I would say absolutely not. And if you talk to anyone who, you know, like straight up punk, like we're just not. But people say fine, because it's everywhere. I think it's like all over the place where people say it. And I don't care, because if we get called other things, then it's like alternative, and then it's grunge, and then it's... So I
yeah.
This thing we do with our music that I think is probably hard for people to really like pinpoint is that there are a lot of influences. So there are absolutely parts that go into a straight, you know, punk rock drum beat, and, you know, I might scream something and it kind of makes sense. But then there's others, you know, there's other parts of the music that are, you know, there's tempo changes and there's time signature changes and all stuff that, like, you might not realize, like, just by listening to it, because I've actually had a few people, you know, not realize it until, like, you know, really listen back. So it's like there's that stuff going on. And I don't know. I mean, I don't know what that is. And I think I've always kind of hated labels. Like, so I probably, like, shy away from them a bunch. But when I'm really pressed, I say post-punk, just because I feel like that kind of encompasses a lot. But I think, like, yeah, I mean, I just don't know that any – I just don't know. The model today is so different than it was. So I think to actually become a band that kind of defines a genre, I mean, that would be amazing, right? It is such a different kind of environment now, and I think, like, so many people are trying to figure out, like, how do you even navigate it? Like, how do you get any kind of success, you know, just based on how everything is currently. So I think if we could do that, that would be great. And I think, like, what I just try to do through writing songs is, I mean, I'm writing them how I hear them, and I'm writing them really from no kind of predefined place. So I don't know. I think that's where all that kind of the weird stuff that's in the music, that kind of comes out. But I think it also kind of sounds natural. So, like, sometimes it's just not noticed as much, if that makes sense.
Yeah, I wanted to, yeah, I'm glad you said, I'm glad you addressed the whole punk thing, because, you know, it is kind of tough now in the music industry to sort of separate yourself from one group or another and to try to do your own thing. I've had a couple of groups on here. I've had a couple of, you know, single artists who have said, you know, I don't want to be put in this box, but, or, you know, there's that tension there where you don't want to be put in a box. You don't want to be classified and quantified. But at the same time, you still have to try and find your own, you know, your own niche, your own unique sound, and try and sort of break the wheel, right? Get out of what everybody else is doing. And, you know, when you look at some of these iconic bands that are out there, you know, that's what they did. And then everybody else that, you know, had modicum of success in that genre sort of just kind of looked at the framework and said, we can do that, maybe not as good, or, you know, but we can do it. And they sort of followed the patchwork. So how do you navigate the challenge of not necessarily, you know, following the patchwork, but continue on to your own path of sort of finding your sound and sticking to that?
Well, I think I just, you know, I had to really become confident in what I'm hearing and what I'm writing. Like, even within my own band, I mean, there have been times, I mean, I can specifically with Sierra, where, you know, one of my bandmates is like that really abrupt change at the end where there's no pause and it goes from the slow verse straight into the fast chorus, whereas earlier in the song there's a pause. I mean, my bandmate did not want, it was just like, that's awful, like that sounds awful, like no, like that's so weird. And, you know, like that's really hard to hear as a songwriter. You're kind of like, you know, you want to be really confident about your decisions. And I thought about it, you know, because I'm going to think about what they're saying, but at the end of the day, that to me was what made it unique, and that to me was what made it interesting. And it was always those things that we've done, like whether it's, you know, any kind of stuff like that, has always been the things that make the songs interesting and the things that I think take them out of just being, you know, whatever, rock or alternative punk, things like that. So I think it's really a matter of the challenge of just being confident and being able to, like, to know when feedback is valid and, you know, should be taken into consideration, and when really I have to push back and say, like, no, like, this is absolutely how I hear it. So I think that's the challenge that I'm kind of facing with that.
All right. I think that's a good way of looking at it. But tell me now, you know, you mentioned that you kind of just try and find your own sound. You kind of just go with what you feel is right. Do you have any bands or musicians that you've really looked to during your process and really just enjoyed what they've done or seen what they've done and thought, you know, that is impressive, or that's something that I wish that I could achieve? Is there any musicians out there you take some inspiration from?
I mean, there's definitely a lot. I mean, I think closest to kind of where I'm coming from would be someone like the Dead Weather, you know, where it's the music is really heavy, but yet, you know, it's female vocals and things are really melodic. And there's some really straightforward guitar stuff, but there's also some really interesting, weird, just noise and sounds and just using, you know, the guitar, for example, or even her voice, for example, in different ways. And I think like that they're kind of, you know, where there's that heaviness, but the melodic aspect to it, that for me is definitely, you know, really inspirational. Because I like, so, you know, I was never into heavy metal, but like there are some, my drummer introduced me to a lot of different types of metal, and like the ones that like I really kind of were drawn to, I was like, oh, that's really cool. Or like the metal that's been also had these like really like nice melodic lines, like that you could kind of take out of everything else going on. So I think it's just, for me, I've always just, you know, melody within kind of noise and all of that has been inspirational for sure.
All right. Are there any musicians or, you know, bands in general that you guys would like to work with if you get the opportunity? I mean, is there anybody that you would just love to collaborate with, or if you could have somebody to do a show with? Is there anybody out there that you'd just love to be on the card with?
I mean, we'd love to tour with the Dead Weather or any of Jack White's projects. You know, that's like a, that would be a dream. I mean, something like that where, you know, someone who is already successful and where our music would be really compatible, you know, it's things like that. Like that would be an ideal situation for sure.
So I'm gonna ask you a little bit of a tougher question, maybe. It'll be fun, but I think it'll be tougher. So, you know, you mentioned that, you know, yeah, there are some musicians you really like, but let's say you can only pick one person. You can pick one artist, one group that you can sit in a room with and bounce your ideas off of. Who would you pick?
Are they living?
They can be living or dead. They can be living or dead. Huh?
I've never done well with these types of questions, like even as a kid, like where you pick one thing. I'm really bad at picking one thing. But these are always my downfall. I don't know. I mean, I'm going to go with the Dead Weather because I just really, really like what they're doing. And I like everything that's kind of coming together. I probably should have picked someone dead, but like, I don't know. I mean, it's 2018, and that kind of makes sense to me. I just think Jack White's really talented. I mean, he's talented in so many ways, and that's the kind of person that I admire within music, is someone who's just creative in all aspects of their life. So I just feel like there'd be a lot to get out of, you know, any conversation with him, let alone with the rest of the band.
So you mentioned that, you know, you've faced some adversity, you know, but you're looking forward to your tour. What's the most fun venue you've done so far? Like what's the most fun you've had on one of your shows, and what so far has been the biggest challenge you've faced in your touring?
So the most fun show, there's so many, but there's the one in, we just played a house show in Buffalo, New York, that was really awesome. Buffalo has an amazing, amazing scene happening there. And the house that we played at, I mean, there were, I don't even know, like 100 people in this basement. And there was moshing, and there was moshing to everyone's set. So it just the energy from the crowd was amazing. You know, someone gave me and my bassist a fist bump, like, in the middle of the set. So it was very interactive, which I really like. So there's kind of, like, no separation, really, between the stage and the audience. And it just the energy there and the scene there is really kind of great. So that was on our April. That was on a tour we did in April. So that was definitely stands out as a top show. Biggest challenge in touring, honestly, is I'm booking this stuff right now. So, you know, there's like, I shouldn't be doing that. I don't want to be doing that. And that's a challenge in and of itself, like making time to do it, making sure everything is going smoothly and everyone has the information. And then I think on this last tour, a couple of weeks before, I mean, I was in cancellations like a month out, 2 weeks out. And that's really not cool. So it's like then you're you know, you're stressed out and you're trying to rebook something and there's really nowhere is open because everything is booked. So that's the biggest challenge for me right now is just the booking organizational aspect of stuff that I don't want to be doing, but that right now I have to be doing. So I think that for me is just, yeah, I'm hoping that goes away at some point. So, and that's the challenge too right now. It's like, right, I can't really book anything longer than 2 weeks on my own. I mean, I've already seen what it's like to do that. And I think, like, for my sanity, you know, that's probably the max I could do. So it's just, but, you know, I'd like to go longer. I'd like to do more. But I have to, you know, I have to kind of balance that with, like, what I have to do right now for the band, you know?
Right. Now there's been a lot of great tours coming through ahead of you and after you in some of the same areas you've been in. And you mentioned before, you've seen some of the bands that are out there and the shows they put on. And I don't know how familiar you are with all the bands that are touring at the same time as you, you know, if they're not in the same venues. But, I mean, you look at some of these bands that are just kind of, you know, a few of them, they've kind of just really crept up and now they're getting bigger and bigger. And there's a little bit to that, I think it's something that you touched on, and it's not just the music, but it's also the show, the performance art, the way that some of these performances are taking place. And one of those examples I wanted to go with is a band that's sort of just kind of skyrocketed over the last year, and that's Ghost. I don't know how familiar you are with them, but their entire show is quite the spectacle. In addition to all the music that they play, they're all about the music, but the spectacle that they put on is almost second to none. So you guys, you know, you're kind of in that rocky place of, you know, you kind of go and you're kind of stuck with the booking all these places and kind of, you know, going on tour. What is it like to see some of these shows from the stage rather than the audience? Because, you know, the audience, they can see the spectacle and they can, you know, experience the music from the, you know, the perspective of being the audience. But what's it like, you know, waiting on standby to see guys like, you know, bands comparable to that, you know, putting on a spectacle before you go on or after you go on? Is it just as much of a treat for you, or do you feel added pressure when you go on to perform when you see these other bands?
I think it's inspiring. And I think, like, you know, I've talked to other musicians who feel differently. It's like, oh, they want to be the best band, you know, at the show. Like, I don't necessarily want that. Like, I want to be challenged and I want everyone there to be amazing, because then what kind of show is it? So I think it's great when that happens. And I think, yeah, there's an element of, like, you feel like, you know, are people going to respond to it the same way they just responded to that? But I think just really remembering that, like, everyone's different, and if all the bands are good, then people are going to take things, you know, take different things from each band. And it's only inspirational to kind of see someone else doing something that, you know, you yourself are moved by or, you know, impressed by. So I think it's good. And Ghost, actually, I knew about them because of my drummer. And I think we were talking about it on one of these tours recently, and just, yeah, but like their live performance. I've never seen them, but I mean, I would like to, because it sounds pretty cool.
Yeah, I mean, you know, you've got, I mean, and there's a number of bands right now that have really sort of shifted towards that. Ghost is one of them. You know, 30 Seconds to Mars is a different genre, but, I mean, they're known now for putting on really great performance. You know, how important is it to you to not only have people receive your music when you go on stage, but for them to accept, you know, and appraise your performance as well? I mean, you know, you mentioned that you've had, you know, good shows where people, you know, moshed and they've fist bumped you. I mean, how important is it to you that people receive that part of your music that inspires them to be, you know, really involved with you guys? I mean, how hard is it for you to connect with an audience, in other words? I mean, do you enjoy that challenge?
I do. I mean, I think there's an element of, it's amazing when you have an audience that is that energetic and that interactive, like we had in Buffalo. But then you have the reality of the other side of that, where there are a lot of places, and New York is one of them, where like a lot of people just stand around and then afterwards tell you how much they loved it. And it's genuine, you know, so it's interesting because it's, as a performer, I am more comfortable when you can visibly see people doing things in the audience, like dancing or moshing or whatever. It makes you feel like you are connecting. I've had to learn to block out those other situations where, you know, it might be a packed room, but it's just not that type of crowd. So that for me, and I think now that I've learned that, like where I've talked to people afterwards and people buy stuff and whatever, it where it makes me realize it has nothing, it doesn't matter that they weren't, you know, dancing or moving, but once I've gotten past that, I think that's kind of helped me just try to be as consistent as possible when I'm on stage. So it almost doesn't matter what's happening, kind of everything you have. And people are either going to respond to it or not. And in some cases, people look like they're not responding, but they actually are. And then, you know, I think about myself at, you know, even now going to shows, like it's not like I'm not that person like up by the stage, like running around, but I might really love something and I'm like standing in the back, like taking it all in. So it kind of just depends. You know, and I think it's like different crowds, like for sure. I mean, there's definitely places you can go and, you know, the crowd, if they're not into it, they're not going to be dancing. But then there's other places where it just kind of depends. But it is
now,
important.
Have you,
you know?
Yeah. Well, yeah, I wanted to, and I got the sense of that when you were talking about, you know, how passionate fans were at that one show that you enjoyed so much. In Buffalo, and I kind of thought, you know, that's something that must be tough if you go somewhere and they kind of just like stare at you and they're like, oh, there's a band here. Hey.
Yeah. And I've had to make decisions on stage based on what I think is happening out there, like in terms of what songs we play or like if I cut a song or something, you know. And so it's just about learning like to read the crowd, but not to pay too much attention, because that can really psych you out and that can really just, yeah, get in your head. But I think it's kind of a balance.
Now, have you built up a decent following? I mean, are there people that you can pick out that you've seen that have kind of followed you for a while that you're familiar with? Or, you know, is it just kind of an exciting new thing every time you go to a town and you just kind of, you're just kind of there to make your mark? You know, do you feel like you're building a steady fan base as you've toured?
I don't know. I hope so. It's really hard. I think in New York, right? It's like New York, you'll see people and you know that, like, you remember someone who was like at a first show or something. With the touring stuff, I am still getting a handle on exactly my complete plan. I mean, we really only started this year kind of doing longer term stuff. So I know it's important to go back and hit, you know, the same places you've gone. So I didn't really do that, or didn't really kind of plan for that until, you know, this past tour. We did a couple of duplicates, but not many. So I think like really what I'm focusing on for the fall is just kind of now going back and thinking about, well, where did it seem like best received? Like, where did it seem like there's the most like opportunity, and trying to go back to those places. And then, you know, try to go back to those places every couple months I think initially it gets really exciting because it's so exciting to be somewhere new. And then you think, oh, you're like, oh, wow, I found this booker in this other place and I really want to go there. But I think I had to temper that a bit because I do think it's important to kind of map out a smaller circle and kind of get people coming back in those places first before kind of widening that. And when you're like kind of have like limited, you know, it's not like we're out for like months at a time right now. So I think it's just kind of being like smart about where we go and where we go back to. But all of that was really new to me. So I feel like I learned a lot just from the first two this year, even, you know, taking that information into July and stuff. And now hopefully I kind of have a better plan. So that's kind of the plan. So I think right now, like, we really only see like those people coming back in, you know, like New York, New Jersey, like around here. And then we played in Lexington. We had a couple of people from last time we were there. So yeah, so I think it's just, we just haven't had a great opportunity to kind of go back.
So I know you mentioned that you've kind of toured a little bit, you've kind of been around New York and everything. But being on your tour, where's the most fun new place that you've been to just visiting? I mean, you've gotten to travel a little bit, and you've got more travel ahead of you, but where have you gone touring wise that you've just said, wow, this place is awesome. Not just, you know, audience, but just the general atmosphere of where you've been, seeing the place, experiencing the area around you, you know, the amenities, if you will. Has there been any destination you've been to so far that you've really just enjoyed and would love to go back?
I liked Asheville a lot, Asheville, North Carolina, just as a place. Like, I mean, we stayed in this neighborhood that was kind of hilly, and I wasn't expecting it to be hilly. It was just a really pretty, pretty neighborhood. And just the people we met there, just not even just at the show or you know, the other bands, like just we had some time that day to just walk around, and, you know, there were like really cute vintage stores and coffee shops, and it just had a really nice feel to it. And I had heard great things about Asheville before I had gone, so I was glad that it kind of matched up. But that was a place where, when I was there, I kind of felt like, oh, wow, you know, I could live here. Like, this is just really kind of nice, and there's a great music community there, and it just was like a really nice place.
That's cool. So tell us a little bit about your single, Sierra. I mean, we've danced around a little bit. We played it earlier, but tell us a little bit about the work that went into that and, you know, how you feel about it. How do you feel about its completion and where it's at now, and do you think you're making progress after that?
Sierra was a song that, you know, it's really important for a lot of reasons. You know, it's a song that's largely about, you know, sexual abuse and issues with society, and not from like a personal perspective. It's really from kind of like perspective of like, what the hell is wrong with society? And we have so many issues. Like, there's so many things that are wrong with society. So I feel like that song, which is kind of one of the first songs that wasn't super from my own perspective. I mean, it is from my perspective, but it's about someone else, and it's about someone being in a way worse situation than I have ever been. You know, even if I face sexual abuse here, or have been whatever here, it doesn't matter. It's really like, wow, you know, someone in Sierra Leone, for example, which is where the title comes from, you know, the women there are dealing with so much on a daily basis that it doesn't even, you know, it's just horrible. And so the whole song is kind of about that, just like, you know, just unbelievable nature that there are people out there who exist like that. So it just became a really important song, and I think more important than kind of any other song that kind of I've written. So I think in that regard, it just was kind of nice to like have this song that was like, you know, really not about anything else other than kind of like expressing this emotion to another person, or trying to understand, or just not even understand really, but just, you know, be there in this weird, you know, song that's written. But even not specific to Sierra Leone, it's really kind of applies to so much. But it just like, it was kind of inspired when I was reading this article on Sierra Leone in particular. So I was like, oh, Sierra, that'd be a cool name for that song. And then, you know, it ends up being all about sexual abuse. But, you know, it's happening in so many places, and especially in African countries. So it's like it could have easily been named something else. But I just kind of really am happy with that whole just kind of how it turned out and just kind of the social impact it could have or should have. When it was first released, we did up until from when the single came out until the album came out, full album came out, we were donating proceeds of the Sierra sales to an organization called No Means No Worldwide. And they're working in a few African countries, just kind of from the ground up, like at the root of the problem, kind of dealing with young kids and, you know, specifically teaching boys that it's not okay with things that are not okay, and then teaching girls how to respond and how to be, you know, just more grounded and more assertive in situations. So it's just kind of a great organization. So I just think that song, was, it really, we love social causes, and I'm really happy with kind of how we brought that all together in that song. So yeah, it's a weird song to sing live because it's like but people seem to really like it. So we're really happy with how that came out.
Well, you know, how important is it to you that you are able to really connect with more than just, you know, the fans in the stadiums and the touring, but how important is it for you personally to stay connected to your music and stay connected to your creative outlets in the midst of, you know, all the other hats that you wear? How difficult is that a task?
I mean, it's really important. And I think right now, I mean, as a perfect example where I feel really disconnected from what I should be doing, which is writing the next album, writing songs and being creative and just sitting down with my instrument, working on these other instruments, you know, and I just don't, my time right now has been insane. You know, just from band issues to like dealing with the tours and all of that. So it's really important to be connected to kind of that main creative piece. And when you're not, I think that's when I start to feel like I am right now, you know, where I just feel like, what am I doing? I'm doing so much like logistical, managerial, promotional stuff that it's insane. You know, we have some, I mean, I have a publicist and they've been amazing. They've been super helpful with that stuff. So I don't have to worry about that anymore. But, you know, it's not like we're making a ton of money, you know, it's not like we have extra money to go get all these things. And you know, from everything that I've read, it's like, if you're looking for management, they're supposed to come to you. So like all I can do in the meantime is just kind of keep everything moving and try to make time. Like right now, I know it's been too long. Like it's been too long since I've been able to kind of really connect with the creative piece and like, and start working on stuff, and I'm going crazy. So I think it's now I need to kind of somehow carve out more time for that and put everything else, you know, be like, okay, 2 hours a day, you can do that for 2 hours, do that for 2 hours. But, you know, the rest of the time you need to just be with the music. I don't know. My brother has every year he offers me like a week at his, he has a like little short house in New Jersey. And I didn't go last year. Usually I'll go and I'll write for a week. If I'll bring the dog and I'll just like write. And I think maybe I'm going to try to do that in like September or something when there's not a lot of people there, because it's just, it's like really, it's really hard. You're in your life here, like in New York City, I'm in my life here, and it's just constant. You're constantly on the go and there's just constantly something happening. So it's really easy to get distracted where, yeah, I feel like if I just go somewhere, I can kind of just like be with it and reconnect with it, because otherwise it, what's the point, you know? And then I feel like I'm dying. So it's not good if I don't make that time.
So, what else do people need to know about you and Castle Black? What can we expect from you guys on this new tour? And what can we expect from you guys following your tour?
I think, I mean, with an album that is going to be next, I think I would say it's going to be more similar to like this one, to The Gods That Adored You. It's going more in that direction, and probably more in the direction of like those last three songs, which is part B, which is just kind of like more like epic and large, and you know, there's some synth on those. So I think it, yeah, I mean, I just want us to keep, you know, putting stuff out there and to keep playing in as many places as we can play and just really kind of building, you know, building that following. We're probably going to do some more. We love videos. So I actually don't have any right now in the works for the new EP, but they will be because there's some of those songs, you know, just need videos. So there'll be more videos and yeah, there'll definitely be more touring.
All right. Well, is there anything else that you'd like to promote today? Anything else you'd like to share with us about your upcoming tour? And where can people follow you and find you guys? And
I think the best way, I mean, everything on castleblackmusic.com is our website. You can link to all the major social media there. And Facebook, you can also follow the Bands in Town tab, which then gives you email updates on the shows. But you can also sign up for the mailing list either through Facebook or on our website at castleblackmusic.com. And I send out like monthly, I guess, updates. But the tour tab is always, you know, updated as shows are kind of announced for the most part. And, you know, we have Instagram, CastleBlackNYC, which is the same as our Twitter, just CastleBlackNYC. So just, yeah, you can follow us. We usually are active on all of them. So if there's a show coming up, you will know about it on one of those ways.
Well, before you go, since I know you're familiar with Game of Thrones and you've read the books, okay, what house is your favorite Game of Thrones house, and who is your current favorite surviving character right now?
All right. I know this would be easier than it is, but there's, I mean, I guess the Starks, you know, I mean, there's, I don't know. I like where they live and it's cold and they're all so serious and they're just really loyal and kind of intense, you know, they're just really intense people. So I'll say that they're my, they're so just honorable. Like that's really, like, I have a lot of like I have a real thing with like being honorable, you know, people being honorable. So I like that they're like, they're just like honorable people, which I really like. And with the other one,
who's your favorite survivor so far?
Favorite survivor?
Mm-hmm.
I think Daenerys. I mean, she's just a survivor. I mean, she's just taking everything by storm. And again, she's super honorable. Like, she just has that whole, like, I know, like, everyone thought it was, like, crazy when she, like, hung the slavers, but, like, I don't know. I've always admired they're like implementing this kind of universal morality from their perspective, which I absolutely agree with. So I like how strong she is and how she is just really fighting for the underdog. And, you know, if something wasn't just, then she takes it into her own hands. I just really, I'm really happy she's still around.
Well, I have to say I do like Daenerys' character, but I think that there's a little bit of complexity to her as far as, you know, her being a just character. I know a couple of characters in the show pointed it out, Tyrion being one of them, that, you know, the Mad King thought he was just for a long time too. And then
I know. But all characters, I think they get that.
Well, you know, I'm glad you guys are doing well. It's great to have you on. I'd love to have you back on, and hopefully next time we can get some more of your fellow bandmates on, and hopefully you're not quite as swamped the next time we talked.
Thank you for having me. Really appreciate it.
Hey, I appreciate you taking the time. Let's stay in touch. Good luck on your upcoming tour. And guys, if you haven't already checked it out, check out Castle Black and their latest single, Sierra, and tell them again where they can get your music and where they can follow you.
CastleBlackMusic.com is our website and pretty much links to all of the major social media from there.
Well, all right.
Thanks.
Thanks for coming on. We'll see you again soon.
Thanks so much. I'll talk to you later.
Talk to you later. All right, everybody. That was the leader, the voice, the writer, the head of Castle Black. I guess we could call her Lord High Commander at this point. But check out that single, Sierra. Check out all of their music at castleblack.com. You can follow them on Facebook as well. They do have a Twitter account as well if you want to see what they're doing and where they are as far as activity goes. Another great interview. Great to have another guest on the show. I hope you all enjoyed the interview. And we'll be back next week with our foray into Free Again from the perspective of women who've made their mark on history. And, guys, I will be announcing the next topic, the next great Titan woman of history this upcoming weekend. So with that being said, guys, again, check out castleblack.com. Check out their music. And I'll see you all next Wednesday, 4 p.m. Eastern Time, with another edition of the Bareback Facts. Enjoy the rest of your week, everybody.